This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Last week we celebrated. It was the title of the sermon, Celebration. And today we're celebrating again. It's a Sunday, so on a Sunday we are celebrating, but we should actually celebrate each and every day. But I'll get to that a little bit later. Before I'm going to start with the sermon, I'm going to ask you to do something. Turn to the one who's sitting close to you, and then just share what is the most beautiful thing for this Christmas time for you. What are you enjoying in this period of the year? Please share it with the person next to you. You've got 1 minute. Thank you. Thank you that you were sharing with each other. And I'm going to challenge you a little bit and say, okay, listen to the sermon and keep that what you've shared just now with the person next to you and keep that in the back of your head and reflect it a little bit as what you're hearing this afternoon. And even afterwards, pray about it and ask the Holy Spirit to show you that God the Father, through the Holy Spirit, is really showing it to you. What is important, and what should we celebrate at Christmas? At Christmas, the world and the churches, can't say all the churches, but in the churches are celebrating the birth of Christ. And is Shofar Utrecht also celebrating the birth of Christ with Christmas? Yolande already started with half of the sermon, so I actually can just carry on with it. Are we as Shofar Utrecht, are we celebrating the birth of Christ with Christmas, or what are we actually doing? I'm not going to give a direct answer, and I'm going to go through a few things which I felt that the Lord put on my heart to share. First thing what I want to mention is that the word Christmas doesn't appear in any verse, in any chapter, or in any book in the Bible. It's an unbiblically word. You maybe say, oh, wait a moment. But Christmas is about the birth of Christ. None of Jesus' disciples, nor any of his apostles, celebrated the miraculous birth of Jesus Christ. There's nothing in the Bible which is mentioned over there. Even afterwards, it was only in the 4th century that the Roman Catholic Church started celebrating the birth of Christ on Christmas Day. You can Google, and if you still have got those encyclopedias at home, then you can look it up, and you will most probably get confirmation over there. So the word Christmas is absent in the Bible. It doesn't exist over there. And it's very important that we must have a look at God's word. Because as Paul is writing then to Timothy, in 2 Timothy 3 verses 16, it's for me so beautiful. We've got John 3:16 and now we've got 2 Timothy 3:16 as well. Easy to remember these verses. Where it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And we cannot ignore the importance of the Bible. On Thursday evening, we went to evangelize, and I spoke to a guy, and the question what I asked him, because you've got to start a conversation, I asked him, okay, 2 days' time, it's going to be Christmas. What is Christmas for you? And he said, celebrating the birth of Christ, and Christ died for my sins. So I thought, wow. This guy, he knows. But as I was talking to him, I actually found out he's not reading the Bible. And when I wanted to give him the Gospel of John, he didn't want to accept it. He didn't want to read the Bible. And when I was excited, when I started the conversation with him, I saw warning lights as I was progressing with him. And I thought, but this is not what God is saying. Because it's very clear over here, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And what are you doing then if you're not reading scripture? And you're basically sending a message back to the sender. Return to sender. We do it sometimes with letters if we receive it. Then we scratch the address, return to sender, and then we drop it in the post box again. We cannot do that. So if we take a look at what Scripture is saying about Christmas, then we've got to be very critical. What is the Bible saying about it? There was one guy who summarized it a little bit, and he said, God's word tells us, it's the Bible, how we are supposed to worship. How we are supposed to give money for the Lord's work. How to evangelize to the world, to the lost. How we should take the Lord's Supper. And everything otherwise pertaining to Christianity, we can find it in the Bible. But not once is the Bible telling us that we should celebrate Christmas. Now you may be saying, oh, you're now taking a little bit of fuel out of this time of the year that people are celebrating and are excited. I hope I'm not doing it, but I'm trying to let you just stand still. And instead of being very close to something, that you just take a step or two back and you say, but what is actually happening over here? What am I doing over here? What is the world doing over here? Is there something that I can learn for it? Is there something which has got to do with the relationship that I've got with God? Another one gave an example and he said, how many birthday parties you've been to? But all the people who attended the birthday party got a present, except the person whose birthday party it was. Isn't it that we've got a lot of times, at Christmas time, we've got that type of situation? People are sharing presents, willingly and unwillingly. But then you're celebrating Christmas, but Christ is not getting anything. It's nearly forgotten. Maybe a little bit harsh. But let's carry on with it. The birth of Christ is very important. We cannot ignore the birth of Christ. It's not that birth that Jesus just suddenly came, because it could have been done. God is God. He can do anything. It suddenly could have put Jesus on earth at a certain age, and then he could start. But Jesus came, Son of Man, Son of God. He came the way that we understood it. Mary became pregnant, and it started. And the birth of Jesus is also not suddenly. It is not that, okay, you page through the Bible and suddenly you say, hey, the New Testament, there it starts. Jesus, the birth of Jesus. No. If we go to the Old Testament, there are approximately 324 times that the prophecy out of the Old Testament has been fulfilled with Jesus. The rest of the day, we're going to go through all the verses, all 324. So I hope that you've coffee and bread with you. No, we're not going to do it. I'm quickly going to read through 15 of them. Those are not even the top ones, but I found somewhere that somebody has put 15 together, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Just to show you that the birth of Jesus didn't come just like that. We already can read about it in the Old Testament. Son Emmanuel is going to be born out of a virgin. The next one is the one who is going to be the ruler is going to be born in Bethlehem. The Lord is going to be preceded by a messenger, by John the Baptist. And your king is going to enter Jerusalem on a donkey. Jesus is to be betrayed by a friend, Judas. Walked with him for 3 years betrayed it. For what? For money. He loved money more, is what he loved Jesus. Jesus is to be sold for 30 pieces of silver. The money for which Jesus is sold is to be thrown to the potter in God's house. The Redeemer of Israel, the Holy One, is going to be hated without cause. Jesus is going to be silenced before his accusers. Jesus is going to be executed by crucifixion, by having his hands and feet pierced. Jesus is going to be given vinegar to quench his thirst. Jesus is going to be executed without having a bone broken. And Jesus is going to be executed by crucifixion as a thief. Jesus is going to be buried with the rich when he was dead. And Jesus is going to be raised from the dead. Those are beautiful prophecies which God gave to the prophets in the Old Testament. And then we see that they were fulfilled by Jesus in the New Testament. And the birth of Christ is all part of God's plan. Of God's plan with us as creation. Okay, then you must probably ask, but where did God's plan, where did it start? I don't know. The only thing what I know, I can go back to the Bible and I can say, okay, what I can read over there I can have a look and see, okay, where God's plan started. Now, God's plan started at Genesis 1, verses 1. God created heaven and earth. This is where his plan starts. How long he's been thinking about it beforehand, we don't know. But it doesn't matter. There we can see God started with his plan. And it wasn't when Adam and Eve made that mistake that God said, you know what? Wipe, delete, format, or whatever you want to call it, and let's start with a new creation. No. God said, I've created you. I'm interested in you. I love you. I want to be with you. And we can see that love of Christ, of God, we can see it continuously through the Old Testament. Yes, in a certain time, he deleted a little bit. At the time of Noah, he took a remnant. And Noah still invited other people and said, you can come into the ark. And it's for me always so beautiful, the ark which has been rebuilt according to the size. And if you're going to have a look at it, there are more beds as there were people in it. So somewhere there was maybe an expectation with Noah as well. Maybe a few people were going to stand up and say, you know what? What you're saying, I believe it. I'm going to go with you in the ark. But it didn't happen. God was with them in the desert, and he wanted to be with them. He even told them to build a tabernacle. He wanted to be with them in the desert. And later on, Solomon was building a temple that the presence of God could be with them, and that they could go and come, and that they could worship him over there. God also sent them in exile, but he brought them back again out of exile. And continuously we see that God is loving his creation, he has involved his creation, and he wants to be with his people. And in the small prophets as well, we also can read about how they are prophesying about the Messiah, the Redeemer. And then the beautiful thing is that the New Testament is then Jesus is coming, the Redeemer is coming. And then, which is also part of God's plan, that we can see Jesus did his ministry. He trained 12 people to build the church. He was crucified. He was resurrected. He ascended to heaven. And then the next step, which for me is such an important step, and for 50 years of my life, I've been living without it, I nearly want to say, that next step which is coming, and that is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That God wants to speak to us through the Holy Spirit. That he wants us that we should be a temple for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was also prophesied in the Old Testament. Joel did it. Joel 2, verses 27 and 28. Then you shall know that I'm in the midst of Israel. God wants to be in his midst. He wants to be with his people. He doesn't want to be far off. He's inviting the people to come close. I am the Lord your God, and there's no other. There is no other God. There's only one God. My people shall never be put to shame. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. We've got to ask God for it. If we're not getting it, ask God for it, that he's giving it to you. That he, through the Holy Spirit, that he is going to reveal those things to you, that you can get words. And that's part of God's plan, that the Holy Spirit is working in us and it's working through us. On Tuesday evening when we had intercession, there were three things which I more or less can remember where we spoke about. We spoke about God's plan. We spoke about faith. How crucial it is that we should have faith. And we spoke about the Holy Spirit. That God shared it with us. And the Holy Spirit is something which is so important, but we must allow the Holy Spirit in our lives that he can speak to us. But then God's plan is not finished. God's plan, the second coming of Jesus, and we're going to be with him in heaven forever and ever. So now we can see that if we take a look at the birth of Christ in the whole spectrum of God's plan, it's a part. It's a crucial part. But there were other crucial parts in it as well. But with that, with the birth of Jesus Christ, with sending his son, he showed that he loved the world. He loved his creation. And he sent Jesus. John is also describing it for me beautiful in the first chapter of his book, John, verse 1, 2, and 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and the Word is referring to Jesus. And that we can read if we go to verse 14. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Jesus became flesh, and he was among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, that's Jesus, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So there we can see the plan of God. There we can see what we can read in the Bible, or what is it exactly is what God wants us to do. But unfortunately, it is happening that sometimes the people are taking it and giving it a certain turn, which is not correct. They're deviating a little bit from a certain perspective. Renee and me have had the privilege that at a certain time, I think Renee has been three times in Prague. I've been there twice. And there's one church where we were a little bit surprised about, and where we had a look at each other, and then we saw the church and we were shaking our heads and we said, wait a moment, here's something wrong. And that's the church, the infant of Jesus in Prague. Banish is going to show that picture now. It's a statue. It's not high. The statue is in a church over there. The church is called the Infant Jesus of Prague. There are legends about it, that there were good things happening as a result of that statue. People from all over the world came to Prague and to pray for it. But what is actually happening over here? They're worshipping a statue. And God is very clear in his word. God is spirit. He's everywhere. You don't have to go to Prague to pray for a statue to be blessed. God is everywhere. And we were a little bit disappointed, I nearly would say. We were sad that the people were focusing so much on that small statue. It nearly felt that they wanted to keep, and sorry that I'm saying it, they wanted to keep Jesus small, that he was manageable, that they could handle it. That's not the way. God is far too big for it. Jesus is far too big for it. We cannot. I'm just giving you an example over there, is that something has been taken, and with respect, not done the right way. We cannot, till the second coming of Jesus, worship a statue, a small statue. It cannot be done. We cannot find that we can say that is in the Bible. It's not there. And so we also have got to be a little bit critical and taking those steps back if we take a look at Christmas, where the birth of Christ is being celebrated. The date, not in the Bible. That we've got to celebrate, I just now mentioned, it's not in the Bible. Paul is also right, warning us where we've got to be careful of things which are happening around us. And it's not that I'm going to point fingers, but that we're really going to be open to hear what the Holy Spirit is sharing us if we come to situations and if we've got to make decisions. And that the culture is not going to decide what I'm going to do. I was brought up in the Netherlands. Christmas tree was always at our house. And even in the years of our marriage, till we became members of Shofar, there was always a Christmas tree in our house as well. But then we started thinking, and then we were challenged. But what is actually happening over there? And we said, no. But we could agree on it, me and Renee. We do not want to have a Christmas tree in our house. You can do whatever you want to do. It's between you and God. Paul is also writing letters. And if we take a look at his letters, a lot of those letters have got warnings in it. The letter to which I just took is the letter which he wrote to the Corinthians. He wrote two letters over there. Now, Corinthians was the most prominent Greek town in the time of Paul. But there were three things over there which for me are typically, which we find exactly the same in Utrecht over here. The first one is pride of intellect. At a certain stage, Utrecht, and I'm not quite sure if it's still there, if I take a look at the clever people over here, then I think it's even maybe increased in the meantime, is that Utrecht has got the highest level of education of all the towns in the Netherlands. So there's a lot of intellect. There's a lot of boast on great wealth. What do I have? What do I want to show to the neighbors what I've got? We see that as well. Morally corrupt. Unfortunately, yes, we can see it. Fortunately, at the moment, legal prostitution is not allowed in Utrecht. And we're going to pray that that is going to continue, that that's going to, that not a place is going to be put up where prostitutes can come, so that it can carry on. In the beginning of New Year, we're going to pray with all the churches again, along with the political parties involved and who think exactly the same. And that's one of the things which is on their agenda, that it's not going to be rebuilt, that there's not going to be a place where legal prostitution can happen over there. But if we take a look at Corinthians and Corinth, then we see exactly the same in Utrecht. And it's just reminding me again, we continuously have got to keep ourselves open for that the Holy Spirit is going to show us, but that we also have got to have a look at the things and say, okay, what is happening over here? How is it affecting my life? Am I doing correctly over here or not? And what's happening in a society? You maybe have been brought up with it, but it doesn't say that it is correct, that you can just duplicate it. But then a beautiful thing what Paul always doing, and that is so, that's why the Bible is also important that we read it, is that he is talking about a current situation. He's mentioning it. He doesn't hide it. But he's not telling the people, okay, this is what you're doing wrong and that's what you're doing wrong. But then he comes as well, then he counsels and he instructs the people how to rectify it, how to put it right, what is most important. I want to finish off today with comparing discernment with judgment. Because discernment is what you can read over here as well. Discernment is the work of the Spirit to distinguish between right and wrong, good and evil. How beautiful would it have been if Adam and Eve had a discernment and they would have told the serpent, "Go, I don't want to need you." We would have a meal just now with Adam and Eve, most probably. But it didn't happen. I don't know what would have been on the table, and it would have been a very, very large table. But this is something what we must pray for, that God is giving to us. And this is what I feel, what is the message what God is giving us today, that we must ask Him for discernment. That we're making that one or two steps backwards, that we can look at the situation and say, "Father, show us. Show us through your Holy Spirit. How must we deal with this situation? What must I do?" Because it's very easy to be judgmental. It's very easy to point a finger and say, "You're doing that wrong, and you're doing that wrong, and you're doing that wrong." But what is judgmental judgment? And it says over there, judgment stems from a human nature and is an evaluation by comparison, which often leads to condemnation. To what am I comparing it? I'm comparing it to my circumstances. I'm comparing it to my culture. I'm comparing it to my habits, and so on. And then when I compare it, I say, "Yeah, it's right. No, it's not right." That's not the right way. We shouldn't judge. We should have a discernment. We should go back and ask God, and then that the Holy Spirit can work. Set your heart to live and walk in the Spirit and treat others as you want to be treated. Christmas in the world is about celebrating the birth of Christ. Today, we're not celebrating the birth of Christ. We're celebrating the plan of God, of which we are part. We're celebrating it each and every day, which is including the birth of Christ. We're celebrating it each and every day. And then we can start with a thank you. The birth of Christ is beautiful stories. I wish I could have been one of those shepherds out in the field. Not now, because it's too cold. But then the angels coming down and singing. I think it must have been beautiful. I think Marco and Yolande would have enjoyed it over there, to hear the angels singing over there. The wise man who also came. And how God was speaking, how the angels were speaking, and so on and so on. But if there's one verse which is for me always so beautiful, is that one verse where Mary visits Elizabeth. Mary arose in those days. It's after the angel visited her. And the angel said to her, "You're going to be pregnant. And you're going to get a baby. And you must call him Jesus." Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Presence of Jesus. This is most probably already the first time, I really want to say, what Jesus is evangelizing. His presence comes into the room and immediately it has got an effect. An unborn baby reacts to it. Now how much more must we as adults react when we hear Jesus and when we hear about what he has done for us? The birth of Jesus, beautiful stories. It's miraculous how it happened. But it's all planned by God. And this is so beautiful. We can be part of that plan of God, what He has for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. No, Jesus didn't come and condemn the world, but that the world through Him could be saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your plan. We thank You for Your beautiful plan. And the birth of Jesus Christ is part of that plan. People on the outside, and unfortunately sometimes even in churches as well, are celebrating this day, the 25th of December, as the birth of Jesus Christ. But Father, You showed us again this afternoon, it's not in Your word, not mentioned over there. We celebrate the plan of Yours, Father, in each and every time in our life. And we always start with thanking You. As the reaction from Mary as well was, "My soul magnifies the Lord." This is how Mary responded. She started to sing. This is the first verse out of that song, Lord. "My soul magnifies the Lord." And Father, I pray, Lord, that our lives are going to be like that as well. That we magnify You. That we thank You for whatever we've got. That we celebrate Your name. That we exalt Your name. That we praise and worship Your name. Each and every day. And maybe there are certain days and certain aspects of Your whole plan are going to be highlighted. And then we can focus on that. We thank You, Father, for Your plan. And that we can be part of it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you are here today, or maybe you're following on screen, and you say, "But God is speaking to me. I hear about God's plan. I want to be part of God's plan. And I've never made in my life that decision that I say, I want to be included in God's family. I want to say to God the Father, Creator of heaven and earth, that I can call Him Father. You've never said to Jesus, You're my Savior. You've never said to the Holy Spirit, I welcome You as my helper." And maybe you feel that today it's that decision what you want to make. And I'm asking you to raise your hand now. Maybe you're watching later, or maybe at the same time. You've seen my number. You've seen Renee's number. If you want to give your life today to Jesus, please give us a ring that we can pray along with you. We are at the end of the year, but I'm challenging you. Next year, each and every day, celebrate God's plan, because you are part of God's plan. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.